Okay. So we're going to recap. It's been a couple weeks, so we'll recap what we had discussed last week, or the last time that we met, and then develop that idea, crystallize it, and see some applications of it. So we discussed, I don't know if you guys were here that week, but we discussed the machlokas between the Rashash and the Menachas Chinuch by Zoreya. They have a fundamental machlokas as to what the main mechayev is of Zoreya. So the Rashash, which it's on the Mishnah, the Rashash in the back of the Gemara, it's on this Mishnah, Nayin Gimel. So the Rashash says that the mechayev of Zoreya is the Hashrasha, when the seed actually takes root in the ground. So he says, and the implication of what he says is that if you were to pull it out right away, 2 seconds after you put it in, you wouldn't be chayev. Put on Shabbos, right? You wouldn't be chayev. Now, obviously, you know, in theory, according to the Rashash, so, and he says this also, like in theory, you would say, there's this idea that it takes usually 3 days for seeds to take root, that's what the Akronim assume. So, if you put it in on Wednesday and it took root on Shabbos, so if the Mechayev is the Ashrasha, so in theory, we should say that you're chayev on Shabbos for the fact that it took root. That's what the Mechayev is. That's like the flip side of the Rashash. If the Hashrasha is the Mechayev, so in theory we should say that you're chayev. If you planted on Wednesday and it took root on Shabbos, you're chayev for that.
Unless you say it's an action that leads to Hashrasha, so the action started on Wednesday.
Right. So unless you say that, he doesn't say that. His explanation for why you're not chayev if you planted on Wednesday and took root on Shabbos is because we have this general principle that you can never be chayev in that situation. If you do something from before Shabbos, you start something from before Shabbos, you're not chayiv. So that's Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's a Gemara on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah, we're going to discuss it probably next time we meet. There's Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, like a zillion things of essentially you start a process before Shabbos and the Melacha only happens on Shabbos. So are you allowed to do that or not? So Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do that, and Beis Hillel says you're allowed to do that. Let's see exactly, you know, how far Beis Hillel goes. But the Rashash's point is, according to Beis Hillel, we paskin that if you start a malach on Erev Shabbos, and it continues on the Shabbos, so you're not chayav for that, it's fine. So that's meaning, like, that's a general principle in Shabbos that will override this particular situation. Meaning, even though in theory we should say that the mechayav is the Hashrasha, and you would be chayav if it took root on Shabbos, this general principle, according to Beis Hillel, that you're just not chayav in that situation, that will override it. But that's the Rashash. The Menachas Chinuch is the exact opposite opinion. He says that the mechayev of Zoreya is just putting the seed in the ground. That's it. You put it in the ground. Even if 2 seconds later you want to take it out, it's too late. You're chayev just for putting it in the ground. So that will explain the situation, you know, the Ashrasha, 3 days late. If you put it in, that's all that matters. What the Rashash compares his din to is afia. He says Zoreya is like afia. Then by baking, the din is if you put like the dough in the oven on Shabbos. So there's a discussion on Shabbos and Daf Gimel says, let's say you put it in, and you didn't realize. Should we tell the person to take it out before it cooks? And we seem to say that you should do that. So it's a process oriented melacha. It takes time. So you're not chayv immediately if nothing happened. So since that's the case by Afia, the Rashash says Zoreya is the same thing. The Menachas Chinuch says that might be the din by Afia. Zoreya is not that type of melacha. It's not. Obviously, growing is a process, but Zoreya is not a process oriented melacha. It's not something that takes time for it to go into effect. According to him, it's just putting it into the ground. That's the machlokas. That's really what we discussed most of the last time we met. Now I want to discuss like a bunch of nafkaminas based on these two theories by Zoreya, like a dinim that apply. Like that. So, there's a discussion. One thing is not on the sources, but there's a discussion, and I think it illustrates the point. There's a discussion if you put dough in an oven on Shabbos at the very end of Shabbos, like a minute before Shabbos ends. What? Yeah, whatever. The Shabbos ends. So, you started a malacha process, meaning like the previous discussion is if you start the malacha before Shabbos and it goes into Shabbos. Now you're starting the malacha, and this machlokes achronim is by Afia, it's not by Zoreya, but which, again, if you assume the two are the same, so if you put the bread in the oven on Shabbos, right before Motzei Shabbos, and then it bakes on Motzei Shabbos. So the afiyah actually happens on Motzei Shabbos. What's the din? So there's one Achron, Chagas Yoav, who says that you're chayiv. And the Chagas Yoav, in general, has a similar approach to Rashash. Again, you should be chayiv. According to Rashash, you should be chayiv in that case also. It doesn't matter if you put the seed in the ground on Friday night, on Shabbos morning, end of Shabbos, and the end of the day, if you put the seed in the ground at the end of Shabbos, even though Hashrasha is going to happen after Shabbos, so Hashrasha is your chayiv. Chakas Yoav says the same thing. If you start the malacha process on Shabbos, right, so even though what we would call the machayiv happens after Shabbos, you're still chayiv for that. So that's like the implication of the Rashash's opinion, is that if the machayiv is the Hashrasha, so it's most likely going to be the case that the Machai is not going to happen on Shabbos, and yet that's still okay, because you don't, according to the Rashash, either you don't need the Machai to happen on Shabbos. So you just need to start the Malacha, start the process that leads to the Machai. If that happens on Shabbos, that's fine. Or, I think I've been going this direction, right, that maybe the Malacha, maybe if that's the din, if that's really the din according to the Rashash, that you would be chayiv in that case by Afiyah or by Izriya, so then maybe it's more like the Malacha isn't the Hashrasha. The malacha is setting up a hashrasha. So it is the ma'isa of putting the seed into the ground, but only in the context where it's going to lead to growth. Therefore, he says, if you take it out, so we'll probably say retroactively, so there was no malacha that was done because you didn't set that up. Or, like, if you put it in the ground, let's say, this guy's like al-das lak, or let's say you put it in the ground with the idea that you're going to take it out right away, so maybe according to Rashash, right, you wouldn't be chayav for that. And Chassid Chinuch would say, you put it in the ground, you put it in the ground. Who cares if you're going
to
take it out?
Can you ask the question that any malacha that has more than one element to it, like Oda, Akira, Anacha, like any malacha where there's multiple components to it, you did one component on Shabbos, the other component doesn't happen on Shabbos, what did it? I mean, it's not simply Zriya or Afiya, it's any malacha.
So in theory, it's any malacha. The question is, really, you'll have to see whether by other malachas you really have an identical case or not. Like I would say in the case of, you know, Akira and Hanacha, it's not identical because we know from the Mishnah that Akira and Hanacha together make up the Malacha. They're both part of the Maisa Malacha, right? So by Akira and Hanacha, Yotza, right? So you have to pick it up in one Rishos and place it in another Rishos. And you need both. If you only do one and not the other, or if only one is done in like one from a Carmelist or not, so you don't really have from Shusha Yachid or Shusha Rabim, so you're not chai for that unless you have a complete malacha. So I don't know if I would say that's a process-oriented malacha. That's just a malacha with two parts. Here we're talking about a malacha that inherently has a delay. So we have to see if there are other malachas like that, but a malacha with an inherent delay. It can't happen instantaneously. I mean, even with miracle, like, it can't happen instantaneously. Maybe, right, maybe we'll see in other malachas if we have that, or maybe they'll just say that those malachas are not like that. Okay, so that's one. Right, one nafkamina is this idea of if you put something in the oven, and if you want to extrapolate it to Zaria, right towards the end of Shabbos, right before Shabbos ends, and it's clear that the malacha, or the what we would call the machayiv, doesn't happen on Shabbos, so right, so are you chayiv for that? So the Chalkas Yoav says you are, right, and the Rashash would probably hold that as well. Whereas the Egel Eital, and we had quoted the Rav last time we met, so they hold that no, it's mutter. You can't have that situation where you would be chayav when it doesn't happen on Shabbos. Now the Egel Eital happens to hold like the Menachas Chinuch generally, with some variations in some of the nafkaminos, but he generally holds like the Menachas Chinuch that you're just chayav for putting it in the ground. So he happens to distinguish between Afiya and Zareya. So he says, while the din might be by afiyah, that if you put it in the oven, right, because that's what the Menachas Chinuch and the Egel Eital also, that's what they do. They say afiyah and Zareya are not the same. One is a variation of that, right? So one of them, right, they say that, you know, afiyah, that is a malacha with an inherent delay, right? And the delay is important. So therefore, if the baking only happens after Shabbos, you would be, you know, it would be mutter. But Zareya, they think, is not a malacha with a delay. The malacha of Zareya is just putting it in the ground. And therefore, they say it doesn't matter if you put it in right before Shabbos ends, if all of the malacha is just putting it in the ground, so you're chayav just for that, and afiyah is different. So yes, that's one afmina, right? There's a machlokas achronim by afiyah, if you put it in the oven right before Shabbos ends, are you chayav for that? And the question is, right, can you extrapolate that to Zareya? And the discussion becomes, is Zareya really like afiyah or not? Which is an important part of a machlokas rashash machaskinuch. Okay, second, nafkamina is something we already mentioned. So if you plant aldas lakor, right? If you put it in the ground, putting it in the ground knowing or having the intention that you're going to take it out. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, you're chayav, because just putting it in the ground is the malacha, and it doesn't matter if you have intention to take it out right away. But the Egle Tal happens to say it's pater. So this is, and for sure the Rashash would say, right, it's pater. He doesn't say the case of aldas lakor, but he says, like, if you take it out right away, presumably he would hold that if you put it in with the intention of taking it out, you also would be fine. Wouldn't be usher.
If you put it in with the intention of taking it out, you don't take it out.
So then it's probably not a deraisa. I don't know if that would be considered a mezid. So you're probably off on that front. I mean, for the people that hold that intention matters, mechasinech doesn't hold that it matters. But according to the Rashash, or the Egel Tal hold that the intention matters, you need to have intention to keep it there, so they would probably say that's not amazing, even if it happened. Especially according to this. So the Egel Tal on this point becomes a third opinion in the Machlokas Minchas Chinuch and the Rashash. Because on the one hand, he holds like the Minchas Chinuch that the malacha is to put it in the ground. On the other hand, he differs because he holds if you have the intention to take it out, so you're pater. So he really happens to illustrate the point, kind of like the Rashash, but with a slight, but he's like really in between. And we had said a possibility for the Rashash was maybe the Malach of Zareya is not really that the Mechayev is the Hashrasha, but the Malach of Zareya is to do an action that sets up Zareya. Maybe that's what he holds. The Egel Tal for sure holds that way, because he holds if you put it in the ground with the intention of taking it out, you're pater. So he clearly holds that the malacha is, yes, it's the maisa of putting it in the ground, but it has to be in a context where we expect growth to happen. If we don't, if it's not in that context, so then it's not. So it's not the simple act of just, you know, plain, pure act of just putting in the seed in the ground, dropping it in the ground with no context, no das, no anything. According to the Talmud, it has to be infused with context. Context is you're going to plan to leave it there. Okay, if it doesn't take root, so maybe the Egel Tal might say, you know, like let's say if it doesn't take root for some unforeseen circumstance, right? You didn't know at the time, so maybe the Egel Tal would say you were still chayav for that, because at the time that you did it with the das to keep it there, and everything was set up that it was, you know, good soil, and there's an expectation that it was going to grow, and for whatever reason it didn't grow, fine. So that's Egel Tal. Okay, now we're going to discuss a little more in depth a third nafkamina, and this is based on a Rambam. So I think this is on the sheet. Oh no, I didn't put the Rambam on the sheet, so I asked you guys to bring Rambam. So if you did, if not, there's in the back, I think there's now a new Rambam. I think you did the donor, whoever that might be. I don't know. It wasn't me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Rambam Parakhes Halacha Beis. So the Rambam says, Hazoreya Koshehu Chayav. Okay, this is where the Rambam. The Rambam is very interesting how he categorizes. You would have thought that the Rambam would just go, you know, I'd say he would just, you know, go parak by parak in each malacha, in each parak, like a parak on its own, but he doesn't do that. He, like, goes in order, then goes back. So he starts out here going in the order of, not exactly the order of the Mishnah, right, because the Mishnah has Zoraya and then Choresh, which someone asks about, but he talks about Choresh, and then he talks about Zoraya. So Zoraya, Koshu, Chayav. So if you plant any, like, kosher is like what the shear is. What's the amount that you'd be chayav for Zareya? So if you plant any amount, you're chayav. Hazomer esa ilan, kedei she yitzmach hareze me'in Zareya. So if you prune a tree so that it will grow, right? Pruning aids growth. So that is me'in Zareya. That's like Zareya, because Zareya is about growth. So zomer is me'in Zareya, so that's, you're also chayav for that. So the Rambam seems to hold that Zomer is a Maybe we'll get to this week. Ram holds that Zomer is an Av Malacha, it seems right from his Lashon. But if you plant, if you water plants and trees on Shabbos, so that is a Toldah of Zerea, and you're chayav for any amount of water that you throw on the plants. Because, again, watering aids growth. It's not exactly like Zerea, so it's only a Toldah, but it's still a part of Zerea. Then, last part, v'chein ha'shor ha'chitin v'se'orin v'chayotze v'hem b'mayim ha'reiz ha'toldah zereya v'chayi v'koshu. If you soak, this is important, nafkamina l'halacha, right, for the such an Eretz Yisrael, where they do, you know, a lot of hydroponics. If you soak, he says, chitin v'se'orin, I assume, means, you know, like wheat seeds or se'orin seeds, something that will grow in water. So that is a toldah of zereya and chayav for any amount that you soak.
It's just a great example. Like, so they have all these irrigation lines set up to take advantage of whether it's rainwater or even, I think,
well, wastewater.
Wastewater. So that happens on Shabbos too, doesn't it?
Oh, so we're going to talk about.
And they set it up this. before Shabbos.
Like, so we'll talk.
Set up the water channel there.
So, so the sprinklers. So this is a question of sprinklers.
No, we turn off our sprinklers on Shabbos.
Question is, why do you have to? The discussion, meaning midinah of Zeraya, I don't want to jump the gun, but the Gemara says poskin mayim legina. The Gemara in Shavuos and Daviches says that you can open up whatever they had, the pipe of water, whatever it was, into the garden on, you know, on Arab Shabbos, and it'll continue on the Shabbos. That's fine. Then the Gemara discusses maybe that's not okay and gives reasons why that might not be okay. But the question is that a Zeraya problem? There might be other problems in general with like running your dishwasher and your washing machine and all that stuff. It comes from that Gemara. So that's one question of, you know, running that from Erev Shabbos onto Shabbos. But a question of Zeraya question is, right, irrigation, sprinklers. So is that a Zeraya problem? So you know, I'm not talking about that here. I mean, he says Mashimai, he doesn't talk about, right, I mean, you obviously can't, on Shabbos itself, do that, right? You can't go fill up from your sink, water, and pour it onto the grass, okay? Separate question is, in Eretz Yisrael or other places, so can you set up a system on Shabbos that will happen? Set it up on Erev Shabbos, that will happen on Shabbos. Separate question, but, and we'll get to that. That's like a variation. The main question is, for right now, is just what about growth via water? Not watering plants that are in the ground, but let's say you have no dirt, and you're just growing in water. Is that Zeraya? Is hydroponic Zeraya? Because on the one hand, you know, like what's the question, right? So if we have a certain paradigm in our head for what Zeraya is, if it's, you know, based on Mishkan, and the Mishkan, they weren't using hydroponics, so even though colloquially we would say that's growing, that's growth, that's planting, whatever you want to call it, so is that, you know, Zeraya for Shabbos purposes or not? So Rav says yes. If you're sure chitin or seorin vechayotzim v'mayim, areiz a toldah zeraya v'chayiv v'koshu. It's not an av melacha, but it's a definitely a toldah and it's a zeraisa. That's not so pashut. So the I think the Kesef Mishnah, somebody. We didn't even like an Avram, but maybe the Kesef Mishnah also quotes. So no, I'm not sure. Not sure. Okay, the Magen Avraham definitely quotes this question. I'm going to ask this question. There's a Gemara in Zevachim that I didn't bring it because it's like a line in the Gemara that's talking about different contexts. But the Gemara essentially says that if you're zorik pishtan b'mayim on Shabbos, you're chayv. If you throw flax, right? Pishtan is flax, right? If you throw that into the water on Shabbos, the Gemara says you're chayv. The Gemara says, why are you chayv for pishtan? If you're chayav, the Gemara says, if you're chayav mishum zoreya, if zoreya is the issue, so why only pishtan? Chitin visa orinami. Right? If you put in, if you threw wheat or barley into water on Shabbos, you should also be chayav. Why did the Gemara identify pishtan as the case? So the Gemara says, oh, you're right. You're really not, you're not chayav mishum zoreya. The case is talking about lush. It's a macha of lush because the pishtan, lush is kneading. Pishtan gets very soft, softer than chitin and seorin wood in water. So because it's, it gets soft, it could lead to lush. Okay. The Gemara, the implication of the Gemara is, you're not chayv. The Gemara even asked the question, you know, aren't you chayv of Mishum Zeraya? Essentially, the Gemara said, no, you're not chayv of Mishum Zeraya. So how can the Rambam seemingly say against the Gemara? Rav, and the Gemara in Zvachim says, the implication of the statement is you're not chayav mishum zareah if you throw something in the water. The Rambam says that you do. How do you explain that? So, there's a couple answers. One of the answers is on the source sheet, if you didn't get a source sheet. New source sheet for this week. So, it's the first source on the sheet is the Magen Avraham. So, the Magen Avraham is one on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch just quotes the Rambam. I didn't quote, usually I would quote the Shulchan Aruch that the Magen Avraham is going on. But essentially, he just quotes the Rambam that says, Shorachitin Mimayim is Chayiv. So, the Magen Avraham asks a question, but Tzarech Iyun. Right, question. The mizvachim daf tzavi David Amrinon hazorei gezera pishdam b'mayim my taima chayev. The Gemara essentially asks, right, why are you chayev shouldn't be zara, should be zarak. I don't know if this is a typo of the Magen Avraham. I don't remember if it was the Gemara says zarak, but if you throw pishdam b'mayim on Shabbos, you're chayev. Why are you chayev? Ilayim mishum de mitzameach b'mayim v'avilei zareya ihachi chitim v'seoranami. If it's because it's grows from the water and in Zareya, so then we should say Chitin Misa'urin as well, your Chayiv. So Gemara says, Asam Ka'av and Lisha. So Gemara answers, no, it's because it's Lisha, it's like lush, it's kneading, it's soft. Pirshin Adbakim Zebazeh, it's like lush because the pisht on the flax, they stick to each other. V'chule, Ayin Sham. Demashma, Dein Chayiv, Elu Pishta, Mishum Lush, Elabachit Visare, Pater. So, right, it's mashma that you're only chayav mishum lash, and you're not chayav mishum zareya, and that's why you've chitin v'se'orin your potter there. And he also asks a question, v'od kasha, lama v'pishtan, taima mishum lash, havilei, v'meimra mishum zareya. The flip side of the same question, even by pishtan, why isn't it mishum zareya? So, v'yesh lomar, v'pishtan chayav tekef, kishinosno b'mai mishum lash. So the distinction he says is because the Gemara is talking about being chayav immediately. So by pishtan, if you put flax into water, you're chayav immediately. You're chayav immediately because it's lush. That process happens right away. They stick together right away. It's lush. But if you were to put chitin v'se'orin, wheat and barley seeds, so you're only chayav if you're shorez man aruch. You're only chayav if you have let it soak there a long time, like half a day. And that's why the Rambam uses the lashon hashora, whereas the Gemara used the lashon of zarak. Right? There's a difference. The Gemara's lashon was you throw it in. The Rambam's lashon is you soak it. The Magen Avraham's explanation is because the Rambam is trying to get at a situation where you're soaking it for a long period of time. If you were to soak seeds for a long period of time, you would be chayav mishum zareya. The Gemara is talking about a case where you throw it in, and the idea is like, almost instantaneously, on throwing it in, would you be chayav for something? And they said, yes, by pishon you would be chayav mishum lash, and maybe even for pishon you would be chayav mishum zirei also, if that process would happen. V'chei ma'isim b'chol yom, sh'nosim chitim l'mayim, u'machim l'n l'behimos, u'mikom lakom, tzarechim minolei la'aramam ha. It's ma'isim b'chol yom, people do this kind of thing, they put chitim in the mayim. I don't know if he's saying they put it in water and they give it to behemoths, and that and you should be careful about that on Shabbos, or just like it grows and people feed their animals from chita that grows in water. I'm not sure. Nevertheless, he asks, well, it's very nice, but where does the Rambam get it from? And you can distinguish the Rambam against the Gemara. How the Rambam know that you're chayav in the case of hydroponics? Okay, so that's one explanation. And that question remains outstanding as of now, but one explanation for the Rambam of hydroponics, of soaking something in water and growing it. So he says, yeah, if you do it for a long time, so then you are, a long time meaning longer than instantaneous, you be chayav. So the Minchas, that's one answer. I'm not going to have wrong. The Minchas Chinuch gives another answer, and he says, the Minchas Chinuch is kind of interesting, actually. This is where the Minchas Chinuch takes the opportunity to develop like a new I don't know, a new melacha, but a new separate melacha than Zoraya, than what we would call Zoraya. We had previously defined, according to the Mechas Chinuch, that Zoraya means putting it into the ground. Knisa la'afar, just putting the seed in the ground, that's Zoraya, according to the Mechas Chinuch, with no anything attached to it. We have this Rambam, right? So, how do you explain the Rambam? So he says, when the Gemara says that you're not chayav, implies you're not chayav mishum zoreya, So the Gemara is talking about the Knisa Lamayim. Right? If we have to distinguish in our minds the two aspects, the two processes of, not the Malacha of Zeraya for right now, but of just the planting process. One aspect is putting the seed in the ground, which is, we'll call the Knisa La'afar. Michas Chinuch says that's the Malacha of Zeraya. And another aspect of it is the taking root. The Klita, the Hashrasha, whatever you want to call it, that is another aspect of the growth process. So the Michas Chinuch said that Hashrasha, that's not part of the Malacha of Zeraya. But he says, maybe he says it's a Tolda, and that he doesn't say it explicitly, but he says that there is a separate Mechayev, not Zeraya. So like when you read the Mishnah Zeraya, that just means Knisa La'afar in his mind. But there's a separate Mechayev of the Hashrasha itself. And what the Rambam is getting at is if you put the seed in water, you're not Chayev Mishum Knisa La'afar, but if it takes root, you're Chayev when it takes root. So he uses the opportunity to develop a new din. Whereas, for let's say the Rashash, that's all one thing. You know, the Knisa La'afar, the Hashrasha, it's all one package of the Malacha of Zeraya. The Mechas Chinuch says now it's really two different things. Zeraya is Knisa La'afar. There's a separate Mechayev, he learns that, of Hashrasha. That's what the Rambam is getting at. Now that's conditional, right? You're only Chayev, presumably, if it actually does take root. Right? If it doesn't take root, you're not Chayev. Whereas for Zeraya, according to the Mechas Chinuch, you're Chayev right away. Even if you were to go up, take it out afterwards, 2 minutes later, you're Chayev for that. For the Hashrasha, the separate Chayev, so you would be Chayev only if it takes root, and that's what the Rambam is getting at. So that's very interesting, right? So, because you see that according to the Rambam, in the Minchas Chinuch's eyes, so an essential component of Zoraya is dirt, right? Because based on the Gemara, you're not Chayim Mishum Zoraya on Knisa Lamayim. So even though we can think about that as growth, and we think, you know, we don't, the lettuce that you eat from hydroponics and the lettuce that you eat from the ground, it tastes the same. It looks essentially the same. One may have less bugs than the other, but it's the same thing. But we don't, in the Rambam's eyes, according to Michas Chinuch, right, we wouldn't view that the same. We would say that the Av Malacha of Zoraya, according to the Michas Chinuch, right, so that requires dirt. Maybe you want to say because of Mishkan, maybe not, but it requires dirt. So if you have Knisa Lamayim as opposed to Knisa La'afar, you're not Chayim Mishum Zoraya. There might be a separate Chiyuv, maybe a Tolda of Zoraya or something else, for Hashrasha, but that's not the paradigm in the Michas Chinuch's eyes. According to the Michas Chinuch, based on this Rambam, you need dirt in order to be Chayim Mishum Zoraya. So you could, and we also discussed this thing last week, or last time, but that's only if you hold that you can ever bring a raya from Shemitah for Shabbos. So there's... the Eglei Tal has a discussion. I think it's Eglei Tal, maybe it's Mechas Chinuch, but I think the Eglei Tal has a discussion. Some of the sources that the Rashash uses... One of the sources that he uses is the Mishnah and Shvius. So the Eglei Tal goes to town on that, I think on the Rashash, maybe just in general, and says, maybe you should be mechalik between Shemitah and Shabbos. So yeah, it's a good. In theory, we would say, okay, so we have this idea of Zeraya, we have Zeraya in other places in Shas and in Torah. In Halacha, is the definition of Zeraya for one the same as the other? So, but you always have that question in any, like, area of halacha that you're learning. Can you learn, right, from one to the other? And it's, I think, even more hypersensitive than Shabbos, because of Melechet Mach Shabbos. So you also see, I think, even the Eglei Tal has that formulation, that we're not going to learn from whatever the din was, I forget what it was. We're not going to learn from Shviyas to Shabbos, because of Melechet Mach Shabbos. So maybe yes, maybe no, it depends who you are. But it's not, it's like, it is a good thought. The Torah says you use the lashon of the Zeraya, so you know.
Maybe it's the same distinction thing. Because Shvius is so calling the aretz. It's not about growing; it's about the aretz. Where Shabbos isn't necessarily about the aretz; it's about growing. So I hear the chalik.
I thought the Gemara and Mishnah goes in the other direction. So you learn what you can't do in Shemitah from Shabbos.
Yeah, so...
One way doesn't mean it goes the other way.
Yeah, and... Yes, that's also true, and also just like how far do you go? Right. about other things. So, you know. And it's easier to go from Shabbos to Shemitah because, right, the idea is that Shabbos is more hypersensitive. Now you could say, because more hypersensitive means just really just different, Melechem Lach Shabbos is different, or just Shabbos is, like, if you think about, you know, concentric circles, Shabbos is the inner circle, Shemitah is the outer circle, so anything that's included in Shabbos is included in Shemitah, but not vice versa. Okay, but two questions. Okay, so we have a second answer, or explanation of the Rambam becomes very fundamental by Zareya, that according to the Rambam, when the Rambam says Ashore Chayov, right, so that's because, according to the Mechaskinuch, you're Chayov on the Hashrasha, but you're not Chayov for the, just the Knisa Lamayim, because by that you need Afar. And yeah, the Shvita Shabbos makes the same point, to be Mechalik between Zriya Lamayim and Zriya Ba'afar. Okay. Now again, you know, you can make the Shvita Shabbos makes this point in one way, but I think you make it in another way, right? So the question is, why does dirt matter so much? So it goes back to the thing we talked about the first week, right? So what's the source for the Malachos of Shabbos? Right? So either you'll say, it's because in the Mishkan, they only planted in dirt, right? They didn't, presumably they didn't plant in water, maybe they didn't know about that process. And therefore that's our paradigm, so that's what it's going to be about. Or, the Shvita Shabbos formulation is, because the main way that people plant is in dirt. So that goes to the other perspective we had on the Malachos of Shabbos, not that it's necessarily about Mishkan, but it's just like, you know, Malachos, Malachos Umnin, we said, might be a different strand of that. And then we'll look to what people generally do as the paradigm for what the Malachos should be about. So it's not necessarily just about Mishkan, but what people generally do, people generally, at least at the time, people generally planted in dirt. Okay. Third explanation is given by the Chayei Adam, Egloi Tach quotes this, and third explanation is, goes back to Das, the idea of Das, that Hashoreh, the Lashon of Hashoreh, and the Rambam, again, it's Bozing Merah, which didn't have that Lashon, it's just Hazorik, the Lashon of Hashoreh means, you have Das, you have the intention to leave it there for enough time for it to take root, whereas Hazorik, there's no, you know, or less das-infused word. And the distinction is, you don't have the das to leave it there for enough time for it to take root. So, very focused on the lashon of the Rambam of Hashoreh, right? The Magen Avraham also focused on that lashon and took it in a different way, but slightly different way. Because the Magen Avraham wasn't talking focused on das, necessarily. The Chayei Adam focused on das, that if you have the das, if you have that kavana, to leave it there for enough time for it to take root, so then you're chayov. But if you don't, so then you're not. So the question is, you know, it happens to be the Egloi Tal quotes this. So the Egloi Tal holds that das matters, right? Because he said that if you have das, if you don't have das, to leave it there, or if you have das, I mean, it goes again. It goes a little bit in two ways. So when you say das, so there are different scenarios. One scenario is, you have kavana to take it out. This is what we would call negative kavana. So you have kavana to undo. So when you put it in, you have kavana to take it out. That's one type of scenario where your das, your intention matters, with negative kavana. Another situation is this situation of das. Not negative kavana, but you're only chayev when you have kavana to leave it. So that's positive kavana. Now generally, so it plays out here by water, so generally, right, the Egloi Tal doesn't say that you need to have das. He doesn't, maybe he holds this way, but maybe we can make a distinction. Right, he doesn't say you need to have das to keep it there. He says if you have das, take it out. So you have negative kavana, so that's no good. Here we're talking about a situation where in order to be chayiv, you need to have positive kavana, like the opposite situation. So maybe you'll make a distinction in those two cases between dirt and water. I didn't see this anywhere, but I think you can make the distinction based on what we just previously said, and according to the Shvitas HaShabbos and the Chaskinuch. By dirt, so since people generally plant in dirt, you don't really need das to leave it there. Right? The assumption is, if you're putting it there, you're putting seeds in the ground, so we can assume from context that your das is to grow and to leave it there. And therefore, the only way to undo that is if you have negative kavana to take it out. That shows you that despite the context, you don't have in mind to do the malacha on Shabbos. We will ignore the, you have to specifically say that you're ignoring the context. Otherwise, we look to circumstantial evidence to determine, right, what your das is all about. But by water, it's not so clear, right? By water, right, water is not the main way of growing. So therefore, by water, you need to have positive kavana in order to be chayiv. So if you have kavana to keep it there for enough time for it to grow, not necessarily that it does take root, but if you have das to keep it there for enough time to grow, so then we say, oh, your intention here is all about zareya, so that you're chayiv. Well, what else do you want to call it?
I'm not so good with Hebrew, but like, when you name malacha planting, we're just naming it growing on Shabbos. So I would think that what you're saying is the problem is not hashrasha, the problem is putting it in the ground. That is what you call when you say, oh, I planted something. You didn't say, I grew something. You planted something. Now, I agree. If you, at that time, have das to take it out, that wasn't planting. Because planting is putting something in dirt with the intent to take it out 10 minutes later. There's intent to leave it there. But I would think you did the malacha of planting once you put the dirt, the seed in the soil and had the intent to leave it there, or didn't you have the negative intent to take it out?
Yeah, I mean...
Just by the fact that it's called Zorea.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I never thought of that.
It's kind of like bonet. Like, we don't call it stacking. It's called bonet. You're already building something. If you're just stacking things, you're not building something. You're just stacking.
Yeah, but the problem is there is no word. Maybe there is.
Okay,
whoever's going to Israel next, you know, on your way from the airport to Yerushalayim, pull off on the side of the road and ask one of those farmers, what do you call putting a seed in the ground? Is it not called Zareah? That action of just putting it in the ground.
No, I think that is Zareah. Yeah, that's Zareah, but like, what do you call growing?
Right.
I would also thought, I thought the other way. I thought that Zareah means growing. And... You know, this, if anything, like I thought that like the Minchas Chinuch's idea of, you know, Knisa La'afar is not, you know, if I just read the words right, what I would have thought of. Only Knisa La'afar and no, you know, growth aspect to it. I don't know, that's me, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know the etymology of Zareya.
The toldos, like Zomer, well, I guess Zomer wasn't a tolda, but is about like growing type ideas, when you're watering it. Or you're pruning it, it's growing it, not like another form of planting.
Right, that's a, right. When we get to the toldos of Zareya, which I don't think it's going to be this week, but so the essential component of Zareya that's distilled and therefore applied to toldos is anything that aids growth. Where growth is the main idea. Now it's interesting, right, if you hold like Michas Chinuch, the main malacha is Knisa L'Afar, which seems to be the least growth aspect of anything. How can we get the, you know, all these toldos from that? It remains to be seen, but it seems most of, you know, if anything, I thought the Michas Chinuch is like the bigger Chiddush, not the Rashash. To say that it's just Knisa La'afar from the perspective of Zareya, not from the perspective of, like, you know, process Melachos, and before Shabbos, after Shabbos, on Shabbos, delay, but just the idea of Zareya, pure Zareya, I would have thought that it's growth, not planting. Like, just dropping in the ground. Right, because you'll see, right, And some Rishonim think that Noteya and Mavrich and Markiv, the Gemara just says, are also Chai, are Avon Lachos. So those are situations where there's no seed, right, when you graft. So you cause growth by grafting. So according to the Rashi and the Rahamam, so those are Avon Lachos of Zareya. So the, I mean, maybe we'll say also that there's a planting.
Again, I don't think Kinsasara is just without any intent is Zareya. I think there has to be an intent factor to it, but if you have the intent to grow by putting it in the ground, that to me is...
Well, Michal Tinov says, it seems like you don't even have any intent. You just drop it in, you're good. Just, you don't have an intent to grow, just intend to, like, over your Shabbos. You're over Shabbos. Like, if you're amazing in the sense that you know it's Shabbos, and you know they say you're not supposed to do that, and you do that, you're chai without any further intent. I don't know, but it's a question. Okay. So then we'll just recap this Naf Kamino, because, again, it's such an important Naf Kamino, because it really pulls out some very fundamental aspects of the Malacha of Zareya. So the question was, the Rambam says, Hashora chita memayim. Chita is ornament, mechiyotza memayim. So that's a told of Zerea and Yerchayiv. The question was, right, the Gemara and Zvachim seem to imply that that's not the case. The Gemara and Zvachim seems to imply that if you throw things in water, so you're not chayiv for that. So the question was, where does Rambam get this from? How do you explain the Rambam? So we saw three approaches. Approach number one was the Magen Avraham, who says that the distinction is just the amount of time that this item is in the water. If it's in the water for enough time that it actually takes root, then you're chayiv. But the Gemara is talking about where it was just there for a short period of time. Second explanation was Michal Schinoch, and he says that the distinction is that by Zoraya, by Shorev Chita Mimayim, you're only chayiv if it actually does take root, and you would be chayiv for a separate aspect of Hashrasha. But if you just put it in the water, so the actual placing it in the water, that's not Zoraya. That's not Knisa La'afar. Okay, we don't say Knisa La'mayim. We only hold of Knisa La'afar. And we said that's a very important idea that, again, according to Mechasinach, the paradigm of Zoraya is in dirt. And therefore, if you're dealing with water, you don't have the paradigmatic, you know, Av Malach of Zoraya of putting something in water. You only have this idea of a separate idea of Hashrasha. And the third explanation was the Chayyadam, Korbei Agoytal, who says that it's about the das that you have. By Shora, it's you have the das to leave it there for a long period of time so that it will take root. But by the Gemara of Zorik, you didn't have that das. And we said that maybe by water you need that, whereas by dirt you don't necessarily need that das to that it should take root. By water you need that das because by water it's less certain what your intent is, and therefore we need your explicit intent, your positive intent, to help us understand what you're trying to do. Okay, that's one of the nafkaminas. Another nafkamina is the opinion of the Yerayim. So this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch on the sheet. So this is the opinion of the Yerayim that's quoted. So on the second source, so Yeshli Hizahir Milahashlik Zeraim Bimakom Yiridat Geshamim Shesofan Lehatzmiach. You should be careful to put seeds in a place where either there was a lot of rain or it's going to rain or it rains in that place. Because, you know, for sure it's going to grow in that area. You shouldn't do that on Shabbos. V'im yashach letarne golim, lo yashach ala kishir sheyochlu bo bayom oli yomayim. If you throw out seeds for the chickens to eat, so you should only throw out enough for them to eat for a day or 2 days. Don't put out too much so that the chickens won't eat it and it'll just stay there and it'll grow. That's the problem. But if it's in a place where, you know, a lot of people walk around, then it's okay because, you know, people crunch it up, whatever, it's not gonna grow. So
put it on
Shabbos itself, can you do this? So he says you can do enough so that it'll only be there for a day or two. Again, the assumption being, right, that it takes 3 days for something to take root. But otherwise, you should be careful about that. So, question is, why do we have to be careful about this? So, the Egoy Tal says...
Can I ask a question before
that? Yeah.
When you say we usually are, does that mean awesome, or does that mean a good thing not to do? What does that expression mean?
So, it depends who you are.
Okay.
So... No, I don't think it's like a bomb that fish. Right. What I'm struggling with, I think, is that I would have presumed that Knisa, even if you just hold that Knisa La'afar as a problem, So I would have presumed that means like you kind of dug a little bit and You have places for the seeds to go, as opposed to just like leave it on the ground.
Oh, grass seeds, you just throw
and here, grass. I think it's like less definite, maybe. So maybe that's like a usually his desire. Grass seeds.
Grass seeds, you just throw on the ground. You don't think.
Right. Okay. So then maybe it's right. Maybe it could depend on
the seeds. Usually desire is saying, think about the circumstances. If the circumstances, like it's raining and whatever,
right,
is ideal for it to grow, not ideal.
Right. Right. So you're right. Usually desire. Right. I mean, like if you put out too much, right. Right. Exactly. Right. The implication is if you put it in a place where it's rainy, Or if you put out more than 2 days' worth of food for the animals, and then, like, yeah, that's the deraisa. So we usually start not to do that. Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, so it's a question, what's the issue? Like, who's this a problem for? So the Eglei Tal says, again, this is where he kind of peels back the Minchas Chinuch, right? Initially, Eglei Tal came out exactly the Minchas Chinuch, your chayav or kinisa l'afar, and we already saw one case where he doesn't say the same thing, and he says, right, if you have das to take it out, he said you wouldn't be chayav. He also says here that since it's in a situation, again, we're talking about a case where you only have a day's worth of seed, for a day's worth for the chickens to eat. So you only put enough food for them to eat, not more. So it's the implication there, right, seems to be that that's okay. So, why? If you hold a pure knisa la'afar, you hold like the Michas Chinuch, it doesn't matter. Right? We don't care what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't care what's happening in 5 minutes, you should be chayav right away. So like Tal says, oh, you see from here that it's not pure knisa la'afar. If you're in a situation where it's not going to grow, it's not set up for growth, so you wouldn't be chayav. It only be chayav if it's going to still be there in 3 days when it'll take root.
The kavana. It's very clear what his kavana is.
Right. So that's a good point. So I guess maybe the Eglei Tal is not clear if, again, these two like added dinim of the Eglei Tal, if he's trying to explain the approach that Zoraya is. The act of Zoraya, the Malacha of Zoraya, is doing this action in the context where it will lead to growth. Or, no, it's not necessarily that, but it's just all, these things are all just trying to help us define what your das is, and you need to have das that it should grow. Not necessarily, I mean, the two go hand in hand, right? Presumably, if you know you're in a situation where it's not going to grow, so you don't have the das to grow, but is it the das that's really important, or just that the circumstance is important because the malacha itself requires the circumstance of it will grow. Two different variations on the Eglei Tal, not sure. But nonetheless, you see from this din of the Yerayim, right, that seems to imply you're right, you're not chayav right away. Oh, so how do you explain, according to the Michas Chinuch, if you hold pure knisa la'afar, and again, you see how these, Rosenberg also says that the extremes are easiest to explain, and the hardest to justify, right? It's very easy to just say out the very extreme shita, kisla afar. But you see, in different situations, it's very hard to justify it because the Yerayim says this, and we have it in there. So it's hard to explain, hard to justify it. So here too. So according to the Yerayim, how did Michas Chinuch would explain this Yerayim that you're not? It seems like you're not chayav immediately. It just depends on how much you put out. Yeah, so what do you got?
So it doesn't have to take root to still be chayav, but it still had to be when it was initially put in, it had to be with the thought it could take root. But when the chickens are going to eat it within a day, the thought is there's no chance it's going to take root.
Possibly, but we don't get that. If you read the Michas Chinuch, you don't get that impression. You don't get the impression that we care if there's a possibility it'll take root or not.
The question is,
you don't get the impression.
He has no das whatsoever to have. I mean, like,
here, or here he has negative das.
Here's not explicitly negative das, right? Because you don't know. It's possible the chickens won't eat so much, right?
No, granted.
But again, the Michas Chinuch says that, like, if you take it out, almost if you have das to take it, if you have das to take it out right away, it doesn't matter. So there's no chance. Right? If you put it in, again, you'll say, oh, you might change your mind. But the circumstance was that it could take root. But he says, like, if you have das, take it out. Like, you're still chayv. So
he says, if you put it in and take it out right away, you're still chayv.
If you put it in and take it out right away, you're still chayv. If you have das, take it out right away, you're still chayv. So again, you'll say, okay, it doesn't matter about your das, but it was still in a circumstance where, aside from your das, it was still in a good setup where it would still grow. You don't get that impression. You get the impression that kinisa l'afar, the pure placing in the ground, because he's so bothered by the fact that the taking root happens 3 days later. How could it be that you're chayav for malacha on Shabbos, where, in theory, the essential component of the malacha doesn't happen on Shabbos itself? So therefore, that's what forces him to say, in his mind, right, that it has to be the pure knisa la'afar as the malacha. So there's another explanation. This is an interesting explanation. So the Magen Avos.
Well, let's just use this for curiosity. So how about if you accidentally spilled it?
So then it's a mizid, right?
But I know, but I mean, like, it's almost like if your thought is I'm going to put it down and pick it back up again.
Yeah, well, it's actually, if you accidentally spill it, it's not forget a mizid. It's misasik. I mean, it's separate. You know, there are other overriding, you know, in those situations, there are other overriding principles that will get you out of it, because you have to, in the end of the day, you still have to have intention for the physical act that you're doing. Not necessarily intention for the malacha, but the physical act. You have to do it purposefully, right? If I knock it over, like, it's misasik, right? The misasik, the classic of misasik is, I don't know, you didn't either. You wanted to cut one, or you cut the other. You didn't know it was cut.
No, I agree. I just couldn't imagine how you'd be like that. But I mean, like, it seems like you're whatever.
It seems extreme. I mean, it does, and it is an extreme opinion. So, in the end of the day, if that's the opinion, so how do you get out of this? How do you explain this Yerayim? Yerayim came before the Menachas Linoch. Yerayim is a Rishon. So, how does Menachas Linoch explain that? So, the Magen Avos explains. This is also quoted by the Eglei Tal. That in order to be chayav mishum zoreya, so you need dirt to cover the seeds. That says chiddush. You're only chayav if it's covered with dirt. If it's not covered with dirt, you're not chayav. So here you just threw it on the ground. Nah, so grass seeds, I guess, according to the Magen Avos, you're not chayav for that because they're not covered with dirt. Just throw them on, right? Dereza, for sure, right? So. And therefore, he says, right, you would be, the din would be, you would just be pater, right? You wouldn't be chayim in the rice, so you would just be pater of asr, and obviously, their bun is too close to zereya, but if it's not covered with dirt, that's how he gets out of it. So, like, kinis la'afar, according to the Mechas Chinuch, right, so, would have to be, again, like we talked about explaining the Mechas Chinuch, but you would have to say, that according to the Mechas Chinuch, kinis la'afar means you put it into the dirt, but there's still dirt covering it. So, we'll end with this following statement. So the Afike Yam points out that this is against the Gemara. I'm not sure if we read this Gemara inside. You can take a look. This is just the beginning of the Gemara right off the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, simple question, why is Zoreya listed in the Mishnah before Choresh? If we're talking about order of operations, I would have assumed that Choresh comes before Zoreya. You plow and then you plant, not plant and plow. So the Gemara answers, oh, we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the ground is very hard. So they used to plant before they plowed, so that through the plowing, right, the seeds would be covered. That's only an Eretz Yisrael. But nonetheless, not an Eretz Yisrael. Number two seems to say that nonetheless you would be chayav for Zoreya before the Charisha, right? Because again, if the explanation of the Mishnah is the reason that Zoreya comes before Choresh is because in Eretz Yisrael, we want the dirt to cover. That means step one was you just put it in the ground without dirt covering it, and you're chayav for Zoreya, and then the next malacha is Choresh, covering the dirt, taking the dirt and covering the seed. So that kind of wipes out the explanation of the Magen Avos. I don't know, Kasha. Something to think about. All right, we'll stop.
Choresh and Zoreya at the same time.